And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show, Mornings with the Leader Man, here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB, and heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
It's Tuesday.
And now, it's time again for your favorite.
Favorite show.
It better be good.
Why? Why does it have to be?
Why would they keep tuning in?
Wouldn't tune in.
That wouldn't be a good thing for you.
And why is that?
Why? Why is that?
Because if you don't, you'll miss it.
Miss what?
Greatest show ever.
It's the greatest show of all time.
On a Tuesday?
I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Boom! It's showtime!
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Happy Tuesday. It's obviously me again this morning, again this hour. This hour will be so much better than the last hour, so our show intro is much more accurate now. Steve is still out, still feeling under the weather. My thought is he's been abducted by aliens, but I've got no evidence of that yet. So when he's back in the studio, he can tell you all about what happened and why he was out. But he's, I think, just feeling under the weather, and either that or he's punishing me and putting me on the radio, which he knows I hate to do live. But I'm here anyway. And luckily for me, I don't have to do much talking this hour. I have John Zumwalt in the studio with me, and he has brought a guest I think everybody would love to hear from. So I will stop my chattering and say good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning, Dorothy. You can chatter all you want. I do have a guest, and I have a bad habit of saying a special guest because they all really do seem special to me.
Guests are always special.
Well, they truly are, because most of them have a pretty full schedule.
Yes.
And they've got other things to do besides come sit down and talk to us. But they're not talking to us. They're talking to the people of Moore County. And today we have a man who's particularly busy, someone that all of you know, Dr. Tim Locklear. Good morning, Dr. Locklear.
Good morning, John. Glad to be here.
For those of you who may not know, and I doubt if there's anyone, he is the superintendent of schools. I don't know if there's a more difficult job in Moore County. I'll let him talk about that. But I do want to, let me give a little bit of an introduction to what's going on. A couple of years ago, if we would have had the superintendent on, it would have been very contentious. We would have been arguing and fussing and fighting, and I would be making accusations, and they would be making accusations of the things that we have said and done. We are, at this radio station, are kind of entering a new era, if you will. We want to do everything that we can do to make Moore County schools the best school system in America. Now, we've had Jenny Purvis on here a couple of times. She was wonderful. Charlie, the communications director for the schools, is working with us to get folks on from the schools and with Dr. Locklear's permission. So I want you to know that we want to discuss things that will be positive. And if there's some things that need to come out that are negative, well, we'll work with the Dr. Locklear to talk about those as well in a positive way. But so if you're expecting me to try to bury a hatchet in his head, And for him to try to bury one in mine, that's not going to happen.
No blood allowed in my studio. I don't want to clean it up.
Okay, well, go sit in the corner.
Okay.
So, Dr. Locklear, the first thing I want to ask you, just by way of getting to know each other and chatting, is when you were first aspiring to get into education,
Yeah. Did
you ever dream that being a superintendent could be so difficult?
No, I never dreamed of being a superintendent, much less thinking about the role of the superintendent. But it truly, you know, I'm from Moore County, moved here with my family when I was 11, graduated from Pinecrest High School, came back and taught and coached there, was assistant principal, and left for 14 years and then came back 8 years ago to serve basically as the deputy superintendent and now the superintendent. And so it truly is special to do that where you grew up, in the county and in the home that you grew up, and it is a great job. It's a challenging job, but it's a great job. It's a great job to work with these students, to work with these staff, and support them in any way that I can.
Well, you know, it's a very difficult task that you have. And when I say a difficult task, here's the task that I see as a citizen, is to take a child who comes into the school system as very young and knows really nothing, and for them to graduate being able to read and write and do math. And, of course, you've got kids who are always going to do well. We've got the kids who are going to do well. But you guys have got – it sounds really easy. It used to sound easy for me to say, why can't they just simply teach them to read? But as I started doing research and looking and talking to different teachers, I understand there's more to it than just being able to say, okay, we've got 14 extra teachers. You extra teachers go in there and teach these kids how to read. It is an everyday fight to have enough personnel to be able to get things done. Or is it?
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, right now, staffing our schools and staffing our employee team is a challenge. We carry vacancies as we speak, whether we're talking about school transportation, where we're talking about our teachers, teacher assistants, and other supporting roles. That's a challenge. But our staff does an incredible job pre-K. I mean, some of our students will travel with us for 13 years or more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's certainly something that our teachers dedicate themselves to. You probably have heard about the science of reading. That's something that the state of North Carolina is implementing over the last couple of years. And that's something that our district is doing well, which really is getting back to looking at how does the research show us kids learn to read and then teaching them that way. We're proud to say that when we look at test data in the 10th grade, there's a fancy word called Lexile score. Basically, it means what level do you read at? And our 10th grade students, when they take that 10th grade test, they read at a 10th grade or above. 87% of them read at that level, which basically means they can read a New York Times. They can you know, read at a high level. And that doesn't mean our kids can't read, the other students. Another several percent also read at what you'd say the 8th grade level is, which is really like a Harry Potter novel or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the great majority of our students, this is including about 13% of our students who are special ed, are reading. And we're proud of that. We're proud of that as a school district. We're driving to have them ready, as our mission talks about, driving to have them ready for a career, to enlist in the military, or to go on to college. And that really is our mission, to get them ready for life.
Well, that's a great mission, but it's a very difficult one, because I really do truly understand reality. And the reality is there's always going to be kids who – don't want to cooperate with you, who do not want to learn, who want to act up, and you're going to pay the price for that when the test scores come out, and the teacher's going to pay the price for that. Let me ask you about another group of children. Now, I'm not here to criticize the people who come over our borders, not in this segment. When children come over the borders, they have a right to be educated, which means they're going to be put in your school system. And when they are, a lot of them don't speak English. How big of a burden is this for you to educate these, and I want to say precious children, because I don't want anyone to think that I'm in any way saying anything bad about them. It's not their fault. They deserve an education if they're here.
We certainly have a percentage of our students who are their second language is English. They're known now as English language learners. And certainly there are certain skill sets that our staff has to have to reach them and to teach them. And after a number of years, they're expected to be learning in English and to be assessing and taking tests in English. So that certainly is a challenge, but it's one we've met for many, many years. And, you know, we're in Moore County Schools, and public education is kind of like the Statue of Liberty. You know, everyone that comes in, we're enrolling in our schools if they have the correct paperwork and enrollment information. And so we bring them in, and we're going to push them and support them to grow as best as possible.
Do you we often forget things like ROTC and the other extracurricular besides football and basketball, and man, those are great students. They're just like, it's like mm-hmm. talking to Abraham Lincoln or somebody. Just great kids.
Yep, we have great programs across our school district. whether we're talking athletics, which those of us who participate in athletics know how that helps prepare us to be leaders, prepare us to be teammates in the real world. We've got great athletic programs in middle school and high school, great coaches, great athletic directors, very proud of them. We also have great performing arts and cultural arts programs in our schools. If you've ever went to a spring musical, you know how talented our kids are and the great jobs they do. You mentioned JRTC. We have Air Force JRTC at Pinecrest High School. We have Navy JRTC at Union Pines High School, and those are award-winning programs, and they do great work with our kids. We have all kind of other opportunities for our students where we're talking about clubs, where we're talking about ways to volunteer and to support their community. So our schools do an incredible job with that.
Let's talk about something that's not quite so pleasant, and that would be the and one that we're all concerned about, the school board and yourself and every teacher. And that's the matter of security. Mm-hmm. I know that's got to worry you. Are you guys constantly looking at that, or you feel like you're Absolutely. Where you want to be, or how are we doing on security?
You're never where you want to be. Yeah. We commit ourselves to having a culture of safety. And very proud of Moore County Schools and the work we've done over a number of years to have that culture of safety. We're one of a few school districts in the state of North Carolina that has their own police force, which is certainly an advantage to be able to have our own school police officers. And we're working with the support of our county commissioners to expand that police force, to have at least one full-time police officer in each of our schools. And we're working on that. We're not there yet, but we're working on that. Proud to also say we've got plans in each of our schools of how we handle these situations. And unfortunately, we've had to put them into place, even within the last year, with unfortunate events that have happened. And very proud of our staff and how they commit to that. Just this summer, we had additional first responder training where we trained first responders and all of our school administrators on stop the bleed training and de-escalation training. We've added additional AEDs within 3 minutes of our anywhere on campus, as well as stop the bleed kits anywhere on our campus. And when you talk about safety, you're also talking about our expectations in the schoolhouse and how we expect our students to behave. And we expect them to act like they're in the schoolhouse. That's what I used to tell my kids when I was a principal. We're going to act like it. We're going to learn like it. We're going to have some fun if we can do that. And we're going to enjoy our school experience. But first, we've got to act like it. And we've got to dress like it. And we're going to learn like it. And so those are the things we talk to our students about and support them. So we have high expectations for student behavior. And when a student makes a mistake, there's consequences. And we hope it's a mistake that they can learn from and come back to school and reenter and be successful. But if not, we have to look at other alternatives.
You know, pardon me, folks, superintendent, I've had three texts in a row that folks want me to ask you about the budget.
Sure.
Are we going to run out of money for teachers before this year is out?
No, sir.
We're okay there.
Okay. And that may have come out with some of the discussion that we had recently around a funding formula agreement with our local commissioners, and I'm very, very appreciative of our county commissioners, Chair Perserno and County Manager Vest wanting to have that discussion and look at a model where we could have a funding formula agreement with our board and them, where we would have some predictability to the budgeting process. And I think it is a positive path. Our board did endorse an agreement of 38.5% of budgeted property and sales tax with a part of that is that there'd be a hold harmless each year. If property and sales tax actually goes down, we would be at the same place. So it gives us some security in the budgeting process. But I think betting on the Moore County economy is a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a pretty positive path for Moore County schools, and looking forward to working with the commissioners to finalize that.
Well, you know, the commissioners, it's no secret that there's been some fussing and some fighting going on. But I honestly believe that we have a wonderful board of school board, and I believe that they want to do their very best, and their end goal to see the kids be able to be successful.
Yes,
for the three things that you mentioned, and I think they're going to really work together well. And I hope folks will ignore, or at least put behind you some of the things that you might have seen, and start looking at the future and seeing how well they're going to start working together. Now, you know there are going to be some fighting and some fussing, and you know that Dr. Locklear is going to not agree with everything they say, and vice versa. And but we're going to start seeing our schools make a lot of headway, I think, in Moore County What are some things that we need that we don't have? I'm going to give you one thing. I know there was a lot of talk about teachers getting a break for lunch without having any duties, and that's just not happening. And I know of cases where it's not happening. But on the other hand, let me say this. There was a time when I would have pointed the finger at you, and I would have been wrong, and I would have said, Dr. Lochter, that's not happening. Why aren't you making that happen? Now I'm saying, if anyone out there knows how to make that happen, magically make a teacher appear to be able to relieve someone for a lunch break, please tell us. Please let us know, because I don't know how you fix a problem like this. If you don't have enough teachers, you don't have enough teachers to do that right now. Now, you can talk about pay, you can talk about work environment, you can talk about whatever you want, but the fact is there's just not enough teachers to go around.
Well, the duty-free lunch issue is one in which I respect that we have some staff that may not be satisfied with when they do have some duty-free time. That is an issue that is tackled at each school individually. And the school, we call them school improvement teams. Basically, it's just a leadership team at the school that looks to develop their schedules and looks to develop times within those schedules where staff can have some duty-free time, where we have time to meet as a team, et cetera. And really, that's based on what are the needs of our kids? What kind of schedule do we need to put in place to make sure we're taking care of our kids, whether that's supervising the kids or whether that's making sure we've got opportunities for intervention or small group instruction. And that's where those teacher assistants, we call them instructional assistants, come in. Sometimes those teacher assistants, instructional assistants, give some time for teachers to have duty-free lunch or other duty-free time. But that team has to get together and really think about how do we take care of those needs of the kids. And sure, we'd love to have more staff. We'd love to have budget for more staff to provide more resources and support at every school. But we have to work within our means and work within what we have.
Well, it reminds me of when Judy Purvis was here and she explained to us the problems with the buses. And even though parents can listen to the radio and understand, that's why there's not enough buses. I mean, there are enough buses, but that's why a bus doesn't arrive on Tuesday to pick up little Johnny when we expected it. But just because they know doesn't make them any happier. They're still just as angry, and they're angry at you, and they're angry probably at Jenny. But the fact of the matter is reality sits in, and sometimes things just don't work out the way we want them to.
Sure. I mean, I think we've learned that. You talk about our parents. That's certainly a lesson our parents have taught us a long time ago, is we were not always going to be happy. We're going to have to embrace our realities and make the best of it, right? And certainly we have to do that each and every day, but we're always looking at how we get better.
I have another text here from a parent that's talking about vaping in the schools. And I take it that's not allowed?
It is not.
Well, no. And apparently, just from reading the text, you guys have sent in canines before to check for this kind of stuff?
We have begun this year again, coming back to having canines who are, what would you say, screening for prohibited substances and prohibited items. We're not, you know, because it's part of our safety and security measures that we've added this year, just as a proactive measure, we're not getting into those details, but we are. Mm-hmm. We have begun to do that. Had them at football game this past weekend to help provide a more secure, a little extra level of security there. We've had them at one of our schools, and we're going to continue to move forward with that.
Well, I think it's wonderful. And by the way, if you ever need a chihuahua to sniff out donuts, well, I've got one that can find them. But this parent agrees with me. She thinks it's a wonderful idea, and she is recommending that you go into the elementary schools, because she is saying that, and this is just something I'm passing on to you. I know you're not going to make a decision right here, but she believes that there's enough of this stuff going on in elementary schools as well, that it would it'd be nice if they can, go there. Here's someone that you would all recognize. I'm not going to mention his name, but he said, folks, if people are really serious about getting you more things and things that you need, and we can always increase people's property taxes. So I'm not going to give you his name, but we are very blessed to have the group of commissioners here who keep our taxes low. We spend a lot of money on schools, And money's never, ever, ever going to fix everything. We all know that.
Sure.
But I do want to say one thing to you, Dr. Locklear. Somehow, we've gotten a reputation, and me, on this radio show, that we dislike teachers, and we don't think they're doing a good job. You know, Mindy, my wife, was a teacher, and I lost her almost 9 years ago to cancer. She was a teacher for 34 years, the whole time we were married. She loved teaching. I knew how hard it was. She would come home crying after seeing some of those kids that just either couldn't learn or wouldn't learn. I know how much effort these teachers put into it. I know how much they care. I know how much is on their back waiting for those end-of-grade test scores to come in. And they seem so unfair to some teachers that they have to be labeled that that's your class that did that. And so I know the pressure, and I know how much they love. I don't believe. I mean, when Mindy taught, the money was not a factor as far as she never thought, well, I'll quit because of the money. What is the problem with us recruiting? And are we any different than anyone nationwide recruiting?
We are not different in any other school district in the state or in the nation. Recruiting teachers into the profession today is challenging, and I call it a systemic issue. I think over a number of years, for whatever reason, there hasn't been quite the investment in pay. Isn't everything, but it matters. There hasn't been quite the investment I would have liked to seen in the pay overall for the teaching profession. There's been some things that have been taken out of the pay, like master's pay and things of that nature. So I think there's some systemic things there. There was a time that we went away from supporting the Teacher Fellows Program. We're bringing that back, which I appreciate our legislators doing that. So there's been some systemic things across the state. I think it was exasperated by the challenges of the pandemic. I think that exasperated just how challenging that was for our teachers. And so I think put all that together, we've got some challenges with recruiting teachers into the profession, and that's really, you know, you don't see the number of teachers you used to going into it at the college level like I did. You know, that's what I believed I wanted to do. I went into it at college, came out of education in college. So you don't see that as often. We hire a lot more what used to be known as lateral entry teachers, who this is a second career, which they can make wonderful teachers. It's just
let me stop
deal.
You there, because we may have an opportunity here to put the word out.
Sure.
Lateral entry, that's still something people can do.
It is.
And explain what you're looking for, and because there might be some retired folks out there that are eligible for this, would love to do it.
Absolutely. We're looking for folks who may have a four-year degree, may have had a different, you know, job for a number of years, and that degree would align itself with an area of teaching. You know, maybe someone has been an engineer, or they've been, you know, a scientist, or worked in the, you know, laboratory setting, and they might be interested in teaching chemistry, or they may be interested in teaching mathematics in middle school or high school. Maybe they're retired from the military. We have some wonderful teachers who retire from the military and come in and want to teach, you know, social studies, or want to, you know, teach and coach. So we are wide open to that. And you mentioned other opportunities. We're actively recruiting school bus drivers. Yeah. So if there's someone out there who just wants to substitute a couple days a week, maybe in the mornings where they go play around a golf, whatever it may be, we'd love to have them come on. You know, unfortunately, that takes about 3 months for them to reply, get hired, go through the DMV process. You know, that takes a while.
But if you're retired and you have that time to wait that 3 months, a bus driver would be a great thing, a great help to this community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything you need us to know before we get off here? Did you want folks to know about the school system?
I want to thank you again for the opportunity coming on. As you noted, there's been some contentious times before. Haven't agreed with everything that you've said, but this is an opportunity for us to move forward, opportunity in a more positive way to move forward, for us to, as me as superintendent, to share all the positives and how much I appreciate the hard work of our entire employee team. I say it to them all the time. No matter what their role is, they're critical to making sure our kids are successful, whether it's fixing a window, whether it's driving a school bus, feeding them, making sure they're not hungry, or whether it's the magic that happens in the classroom every day. We're proud of Moore County Schools. I'm proud. I'm a proud graduate of Moore County Schools, proud of it. We had some great growth last year on our test scores. But everything's not measured by test scores. It's measured by the quality of the kid that's coming out of our district, and we're real proud of him.
Well, I hope that you will come back, and I hope that you'll consider bringing certain teachers that you would like to highlight, or whoever, bus drivers. And I think I'm shocked. I mean, I'm shocked to hear you say that I said some things you didn't agree with. But no, we've had some pretty tough times, and we want to work now to make Moore County schools as good as they can be. And so, anything that we can do to be a part of that, this radio station, you can count on it. And we'll just keep watching the meetings and hope they go well. Hope that everyone does what's best for our schools. And when we start talking about little petty things, I always think, who cares? Just talk about reading. Talk about making the scores higher for those kids. That's all I care about. Yep. So, all right. Well, we've been talking to Dr. Tim Locklear, superintendent of schools. We have not been the best of friends over the years, but I think we're going to start a new relationship here now. And I really appreciate everyone listening. I think that some of you probably tuned in and expected a big argument. And Dorothy's giving me the 1 minute signal. So
yes, you still got 1 minute left, so keep going.
Okay. So I'm really, really happy that he accepted my invitation to come on. I'm not sure I would have had I been him, because I've been pretty rough on him and pretty rough on the schools. But this is a tough job, educating children. It sounds simple. You put 10 good kids in a room, you put two teachers in there with them, you teach them to read. But that's not the way it works. And
it's a whole lot harder than that.
And you don't have 10, you have I don't know how many, and you can't find a teacher, and you've got substitutes, and it's just, and he gets the blame for everything, which that's why he gets the big money. He gets the blame for everything.
Oh, he's got big shoulders.
But anyway, I hope you'll come back. We've also got Charlie sitting here. He hadn't said anything, but he's the...
he's hiding in the corner.
He's the communications director, I think.
He's over there critiquing me. I can feel it.
He's got a degree in it. But anyway, we just about hit it. Oh, just about right.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Dr. Locklear, I'll ask you the same thing I ask everybody that I want to. You'll come back?
Certainly.
Okay,
good. I'll come back.
Good. We'll talk about when you have a... something you want to highlight or anything, please give me a call, and we'll love to have you back again.
Happy to come back. We've got lots to talk about.
Absolutely. All right, great. Thank you so much.
Well, everybody, it's Tuesday. Go get yourself a pizza. Have a nice warm afternoon, and we'll be back here tomorrow, hopefully with any luck. Steve will be behind the microphone instead of me. But I hope everybody has a great Tuesday. See you tomorrow.